You're listening to the Intuitive Strength Podcast, and I'm your host, Bree Ogletree. I'm an online fitness coach teaching women how to use strength training and nutrition to build a body they love, but I'm also a strong believer in holistic wellness, which includes all aspects of your life. While this podcast is heavily focused on fitness and nutrition, we'll also dive into other topics that attribute to total wellness to include mental health, financial health, relationships, and stress management, to name a few. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the episode. When it comes to women working on their fitness goals, I find that most women, many women, fall into one of two camps. They're either struggling to get started or stay consistent, or they are doing all of the things, using all of their energy to reach their goals and still not finding or reaching the results that they want to see. So the problem with both of those things is there is no middle ground, right? So both women are struggling with finding a happy medium between working towards your goals and also having a life. So if that sounds like you, in honor of Women's History Month, I am offering a $1 free trial to my membership Thrive to help you find that middle ground, to help you find the perfect balance between working towards your goals and enjoying your life. So no crazy diets or excessive exercise in this program. You can try out the entire membership for just $1. So you will get access to everything, the workouts, the coaching, the extra content that's inside the Thrive membership to help you start finding that happy medium, that middle ground to help you reach your goals and still enjoy it in the process. So if you're interested in that, you can head to iscoaching.fit/join-thrive and use code WOMEN24 to sign up for your $1 30-day trial today. Hello and welcome back to the show. If you're new here, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. This week, we are going to talk all about what I actually did to transform my body. I'm going to post a before and after photo somewhere over 2010. Was really like the adult start to my fitness journey, right? I started lifting weights when I was 14 years old. I started exercising when I was 14 years old. But we're going to talk a little bit about what I did to go from that 2010 body to what I look like today. And hopefully what we go over will help you along in your fitness journey. Maybe there's some things that you're not thinking about or some things that you're doing a little bit differently. And maybe this will kind of help shift what you're doing or shift your perspective. Hopefully it'll help you along in your journey. If you're not already subscribed to the show, definitely make sure that you're subscribed wherever you're listening to or watching this video. I post the podcast version, so just the audio, on pretty much any podcasting app you can think of. And then the video version is also available on YouTube and Spotify. So make sure that you are subscribed to those channels so that you don't miss an episode. Okay, so let's get into what I actually did to go from what my body looked like in 2010 to what it looks like now. So that is a span of 14 years. So that photo was taken, I think, after my first year in college, which is significant because I spent all of freshman year virtually not doing any type of exercise or anything like that. I did start exercising when I was 14 years old to play sports in high school and to get this weight. My motivations for exercising were really around that, even in 2010, but even before that. But the whole first year of freshman year, I didn't do virtually anything. I could probably count on one hand how many times I exercised freshman year other than walking to and from class. I spent that year meeting people, meeting my best friends, Nikki and Nipa, partying. I was drinking a lot. You know, the freshman 15 is a real thing. So that is what I looked like at the end of freshman year. So I was uncomfortable in my body, very uncomfortable with how I looked, and I was looking for ways to change my body. But this episode again is all around what I did to go from that to what I look like today. So the first thing that I did was learn how to lift weights. Like I said, my journey began even before college. It began in
eighth grade when I was trying to, or I knew I wanted to play sports in high school, but I knew I wasn't in shape enough to do it. It started with that gym membership. So my parents got me a YMCA gym membership, and that's where I started to learn how to exercise. So I learned how to lift weights that year. I was very intimidated. It was mostly older men, adult men in the weight room. There was like a separate weight room in that gym for just lifting weights, and then there was like the cardio room. So I at first was just I wanted to just be in the cardio room. I didn't want to have anything to do with the weights. I was like, I'm just gonna run and do cardio, and that's it. And then I slowly started to go into the weight room and learn how to do different things. My teachers early on were fitness magazines, so I would see fitness magazines in like grocery stores. I didn't really think to look on the internet yet. I think AOL was still a thing, like it was still like dial up when I was 14 years old. So yeah, I didn't think to like search on the internet for anything. I don't think blogging was super, it may have been huge, I just wasn't aware of it. But yeah, fitness magazines were really my way of starting to learn how to lift weights. And in my when I if we flash forward to college, when I started getting back into my fitness journey, I was using exercise videos to learn how to lift weights. So if you're not familiar with P90X, that's a Beachbody program. I started doing P90X that summer, and that was very resistance-based. That was resistance-based exercise. It was a little bit more circuit training, HIIT style, strength training, but that's what I got into to start making some changes and exercising more and yeah, just getting in better shape. So that transformed into a love for fitness. So as I was going through my own transformation, I realized how much I loved fitness. I realized how much I love lifting weights. And that's when I changed my major in college. So changing my major in college again gave me more resources, more tools to learn exactly, you know, what strength training can do for your body. And it was in 2013 that I joined the military and met one of my battle buddies, one of my colleagues. Her name is Zabala, and she really introduced heavy strength training to me. So before I met her, I was doing more, like I said, HIIT style, circuit training type strength training with like lighter weights, higher reps, things like that, doing P90X and things. And once I met her, I really learned that there's a smarter, better way to go about exercising, and it was with moderate to heavy strength training. I learned that from her. We would work out together all the time. We would do like her heavy lifts. So we would do like bench, deadlift, even Olympic lifting. She really got me into Olympic lifting, so snatch and clean and jerk and things. And once military training ended, so I'm in the reserves, so I'm part-time, I came back home. I sought out a CrossFit gym, and CrossFit style workouts have a very strength focused component to them. Yes, they have like the high intensity workouts, but usually you do some type of strength training component at the beginning, and then you finish off with some type of high intensity interval training or conditioning workout at the end. So yeah, it was really Zabala that like introduced me to more moderate to heavy strength training, and I kind of took it from there. So yes, I've been lifting weights since I was 14 years old, but it really wasn't until about 2014 when I met Zabala that I started really focusing on the heavier lifts, so deadlift, bench press, squatting, with the barbell. So barbell training specifically for me. That introduced me to moderate to heavy strength training. And between those years, so I would say like 2015 to 2018 is when I saw like the biggest change in what my body looked like, because I incorporated moderate to heavy strength training. And I just continued to do that up until this day. So I've been able to maintain what my physique looks like because I focus on strength focused, moderate to heavy strength training workouts. That makes up the bulk of what I'm doing in the gym week to week, as consistently as I can. I'm human, I'm just like everybody else. I do slip up. So I've even had a few weeks this year where I took a week off. So I had COVID, I was sick, for example, and then I was traveling. So usually when I'm traveling, it becomes harder to get your workouts in. But over those years, consistently, strength training has been my focus and helping me transform what my body looks like. So that is the first thing that I did. Focus on lifting weights, lifting moderate to heavy, strength-focused workouts was the first thing that really helped transform my body. The second thing that I did to help transform my body was to stop doing so much HIIT and cardio. Now, initially, my body responded really well to doing a lot of cardio and doing a lot of HIIT style training. So I was doing a lot of this in 2010, like through like 2012, 2013. Like that was the bulk of what I was doing. I was lifting weights, but it was in that HIIT style format. And then I was also loading up a lot on tons of cardio. So I would spend hours on the treadmill. I would spend hours, you know, on the elliptical, whatever, doing any type of cardio that I could. Yeah, just doing tons and tons of cardio. And what this did for my body was really stress out my body. So, and I didn't realize what I was doing until after the fact. I was experiencing a lot of brain fog when I did this. I was having panic attacks. I was having pretty consistent panic attacks. And I just didn't know enough to link the two. I thought, oh, I'm in really good shape, right? I look the best I've ever looked. But I'm having like panic attacks and I can't stay awake and I can't remember things. So I was really stressing out my body with all of this HIIT and cardio and things. So it wasn't until probably 2018, I would say, that I started to see the link between what I was experiencing. So those symptoms I was experiencing, brain fog, panic attacks, high anxiety, things like that. I didn't link the two until about then, because that was when I was diagnosed with PCOS. So getting that diagnosis was eye-opening for me, because it made me pause and think, oh, like I did a little bit of research, and finding out that HIIT and cardio and things like that, like tons of those types of workouts for my body was not beneficial, and it was probably more detrimental to my hormones and how I felt than it was beneficial to me. So it wasn't until 2018 when I got that diagnosis that I was like, oh, I should probably stop, you know, doing so much activity. And of course, when I slowed down on the HIIT and the cardio and things, I started to see some of those symptoms go away. So the brain fog, the panic attacks, they were much less frequent after I came to that realization. And also I felt better too. Like I felt like I was recovering better from my workouts and I was getting better results with doing less. So I was doing less HIIT, less cardio, still focused on heavy strength training, and was still able to maintain really good results just with that focus on strength training. Those two things were huge, but the next thing that I did was also instrumental in not only getting results, but maintaining the results that I got for my body. So the next thing that I did was listen to my body. So a lot of the beginning of my journey was spent doing as much as I could, going as hard as I could to get the results that I wanted. And that worked well for a short period of time, but I also was having really intense cycles of binging and restricting after a while. It was kind of like an all or nothing for me. So I was either going to the max, working out excessively and restricting, you know, food groups and things like that, or I was taking, you know, 2 to 3 week hiatuses, not doing anything. That was really tough on me mentally, and it obviously wasn't sustainable either. So I started to look for like other solutions, and I think it was around that time that I started to find more intuitive approaches to nutrition and exercise, and learning more intuitive tools to listening to what my body needed. Like, I think I intuitively knew that what I was doing was not going to last long. Like, there was no way I could keep up with doing 2 hour cardio sessions and like barely eating carbohydrates. So I just started to naturally look for other solutions. And I found things like using hand measurements to measure your food, just certain eating behaviors that would help you, you know, slow down and make sure you're eating enough and make sure you're not eating, you're not overeating, taking rest days when you need them, even though you're supposed to be working out. So my PCOS diagnosis was a big staple in learning how to listen to my body as well. Before I got the diagnosis, I wasn't sure why I felt the way that I felt. Like, I was just extremely tired all the time. I had, at certain points of the month, I had very low motivation to do anything, right? I couldn't understand why I was having panic attacks, things like that. And it wasn't until I got the diagnosis that I started to slow down and really listen to what my body was actually telling me. And your body's going to tell you a lot. Your body's going to tell you when you need to rest. Your body's going to tell you when you're tired, when you're hungry. If you feel good enough to push in something like a HIIT workout, or if you need something a little bit more low intensity, like just a nice walk outside, right? Your body is going to tell you exactly what it can handle and what it needs at that time. So, while having PCOS is not ideal, it did help me create a better relationship with my body. And that in turn helped me produce results like this, right? When you're not creating like a fight or flight situation within your body can actually thrive and do the things that you want it to do and make the changes that you want it to change. So it was really the excessive binging and restricting cycles, the high HIIT and cardio sessions, the long HIIT and cardio sessions that weren't really doing a great service to my body. And it's when I stopped doing those things and started listening to what my body needed that I was able to produce the results that I produced over the last 14 years. The next thing I did was learn what to eat. So I specifically put this after learning how to tune in or how to listen to your body, because part of that is learning how to eat. And I think learning how to eat and how to tune into your body are way more important to learn first than learning what to eat. Now, learning what to eat, yes, that is important too. But the behaviors of eating, I think, are even more important, because this is what is going to allow you to still enjoy the foods that you love, but not overindulge in the food so much so that you're not getting the results that you want to get. But back to learning what to eat. This, again, happened over time, did not happen overnight. And I had several different resources for learning what my body needed before, during, and after exercise. And then also, you know, what was healthy for my body in general. And what I learned is that, yeah, there's some simple guidelines, but everybody's a little bit different. So everybody, depending on, you know, how their body processes food, is what you're going to eat for your body. Learning things like, you know, protein and carbohydrates, good quality carbohydrates before you exercise is a good idea, because you want to have enough fuel to get through your workouts and to be able to get in a quality workout. And then protein and carbohydrates after you exercise is a good idea, because you want to replenish your muscle. You want to have protein available for your muscles to repair. You want to be able to replenish those glycogen stores in your muscle, which is basically like stored carbohydrate, stored energy in your muscles, so that the next time you go work out, you have energy to do that. So learning those things was really pivotal in my personal journey. The first time in my life where this really clicked for me was in a college course. So I had already gone through military training and I was finishing out my exercise science degree at Temple. I took this class called Exercise or Nutrient Metabolism. And that was the first time that it all like clicked to me in terms of nutrition. I just had this aha moment, like, oh yeah, like what I eat influences like the results I get in the gym. So like, I need to fuel my body properly in order to be able to do these strength training workouts. So I had already had the realization that I needed to be strength training consistently to see changes in my body. But it was that class that I was like, oh yeah, like I need the fuel to be able to do these moderate to heavy strength training workouts, right? So it was really those two aha moments together that helped me realize that, yes, learning what to eat is important too, but it's important as a whole with everything else that I just talked about, right? So that was a pivotal moment, not only for getting results in the gym, but for my relationship with food. Before that, I was having really intense restricting and binging cycles. And I think it was around this time that that sort of activity started to decrease. It didn't stop overnight, obviously, but it really helped me see nutrition in a different way and helped me start to dive into, okay, what nutrition do I need to be able to get in order to create my strongest body, right? So yeah, that was a huge aha moment for me. Since then, again, still learning different ways. Like, that class was really heavy on learning like macronutrients and things. But I've learned over the years ways to get in what my body needs, to get the nutrition my body needs without counting calories or counting macros. Now today, what I use is a very simple approach. I use hand measurements and I use hunger cues, and I just tune into what my body needs and some very basic guidelines. Like, I eat protein at every meal. If it's a workout day, I'm probably eating more carbohydrates than on a non-workout day. Very simple things that I follow as in terms of what to eat in order to help achieve the goals that I want to achieve and maintain them. And that's made a huge difference in my body transformation. And the last thing that I did in making this transformation from 2010 to now is I improved my relationship with my body over that time. I think improving my relationship with my body really started more with like the physical things that I was actually doing. So as I changed my relationship with exercise and nutrition, so like how I was treating my body physically, like what I was physically doing with my body, and also what I was, how I was fueling my body and the nutrition that I was choosing and how I was approaching nutrition, kind of helped facilitate an improved relationship with my body. When I first started my journey, I was very at war with my body and the choices I was making, and it never seemed like enough, and it was all or nothing. And I never seemed to be doing enough or doing the right things, and I was always like blaming myself and shaming myself for the choices that I was making. And I think through learning more effective ways to exercise that, you know, didn't cause all these secondary symptoms like brain fog and panic attacks and things like that, lack of sleep, anxiety, and allowing myself to have the fuel that I needed to have in order to feel good, not only in my workouts, but like throughout the day, that helped facilitate an improvement in how I was treating my body, how I was talking to myself. Language is very powerful. So like a lot of what I was saying in 2010 was very different to how I talk to myself now. So 2010, it was just like, why do you look this way? Like, you're so fat, like just really, really negative things like that either I was saying about myself to other people or saying out loud or just saying to myself in my head, right? And now that noise, that conversation is very different. So in 2010, if I made, you know, a food choice that I knew wasn't exactly in line with my goals, right, it was a lot of shaming, a lot of, you know, you shouldn't have eaten that. I'll start Monday. You can't stick to a diet. Like, what's wrong with you? You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, if I eat something that's not in line with, you know, my goals per se, usually it's, you know, one of my favorite food groups, like ice cream or like pizza or things like that, I don't hear that chatter anymore. And I don't talk to myself the way I used to talk to myself in 2010. So learning better approaches to nutrition and exercise helped me with that. But there's other ways to do it too. You don't necessarily have to do it through nutrition and exercise. And I think noticing those thoughts is a really good place to start. So if you're noticing that everything that you're thinking about yourself or saying about yourself is super negative, maybe start to dissect where that could be coming from, why you're talking to yourself this way, or maybe just noticing that it's there, right? Sometimes awareness is like the most important, that's the most important piece to starting to change something. Just being aware that you're doing it can be enough to start changing some of that behavior. And when I started changing the way that I was talking to myself and treating myself, whether externally or in my own head, right? Again, that relationship started to change. I became more consistent in my fitness journey when I changed that dialogue, because it was no longer there's no longer shame around my choices that I was making. So I could go out and, you know, have some beer and pizza and wings, something that I love, right? And not feel all the guilt about it, you know, the next day or a few hours later. And I would still go do that workout that I had scheduled the next day and not like feel any type of way about the choice that I made the day before. And I think this is like the biggest change that I made that probably had like, yes, the nutrition and exercise is important, but I think it had like the most profound difference, or made the most profound difference in my journey, because changing that relationship with my body allowed me to become more consistent in those exercise and nutrition habits, because it was no longer, oh, like this shame spiral for days and days and days and days, like, oh, I can't stick to anything, like why even bother? It changed from that to just picking up those same activities or those same habits that were going to help me transform my body. So my rebound rate, because I improved my relationship with my body, was a lot quicker. And that is a huge, that was a huge catalyst in helping to change my body. The faster and more consistent you can turn around your thoughts and things about, you know, how you may feel about a choice you made or what your body looks like or things like that. And the more you can get back into the practice of these habits, the more successful you're going to be. And I think, again, improving my relationship with my body allowed me to be more successful in my overall fitness journey. So hopefully that makes sense. If not, let me know. We can continue to talk about this after this episode. You can leave me a message or shoot me an email if you want to have a follow-up conversation about this. But yeah, those are really the four or five things that I did to transform my body. So maybe you've heard some of these things before. Maybe you know some of these things would definitely help you if you are looking for a similar transformation, or you're just looking to make some changes when it comes to your fitness journey and health. And maybe you haven't thought of some of these things. So hopefully that is helpful to you in your unique journey. Okay, so that is all I have for today. I'm just going to recap real quick what those five things are. So the first thing is learning to lift moderate to heavy weights. So strength training focused workouts. The second thing is I stopped doing so much HIIT and cardio. So no more super long sessions of cardio or tons of HIIT training to allow my body to recover, to not stress my hormones and my whole body out. The third thing that I did was learn to listen to my body, what it needed, if it needed rest, if it was able to push through a tougher workout, we just needed a low intensity, nice nature walk. The fourth thing that I did was learn what to eat. So what I should be eating before, maybe during and after a workout, what I should be eating on rest days. The fifth thing that I did was improve my relationship with my body. And in my opinion, this had made the biggest difference in my overall journey and my transformation. So I trust that was helpful for you. Take what you need out of all of that and start to apply it to your own journey. Again, for the first week of March, I am offering a $1 trial to Thrive to help you get started on your journey to find that happy medium between working for your goals and also enjoying your life. So there's no crazy workouts or dieting in this program at all. You get all of the workouts, coaching, and resources that you need to be successful. And lastly, make sure that you like this video if you're watching on YouTube, and subscribe where you're listening or watching, so that you do not miss an episode. And if you know someone who would benefit from this episode, please be sure to share it with them, and help get the word out about the show. I would be so grateful if you did. And thanks for listening, and I will talk to you again soon.